Good morning once again, church. Today we want to turn to the book of 1 Peter. Book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. I was kind of struggling this week about what to preach on, and I mentioned it to Kelly. I said, you know, I don't know exactly what the sermon should be about. And my wife and her great pragmatic wisdom said, well, why don't you talk about people leaving the church? Because Jason's leaving this week. So I said, okay, we can do that. That's simple enough. But of course, it can't be that simple because the Bible has so many great lessons in it. So today we're going to talk a little more. I'm getting there. I haven't gotten there. So 1 Peter, we're going to start at the chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. Say again?
7-11.
Yes. Sorry. And it reads as thus. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Father God, we turn to you now, looking for a word, asking you to use this message and this time to reveal yourself and your purpose for us in a deeper way. Give us clarity to exactly what it is you are saying through this message to us. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a show on Showtime. I think it's on Showtime. I don't know. There's a show called Shameless. Anybody seen this show? I see some grins. My wife loves this show, okay? I don't watch a lot of shows, but because my wife does, I kind of get to see what's going on. And by the title of the show, you could imagine, it's about a family, kind of poor family in Detroit, modern day, and they do things out of the ordinary. They do whatever they need to do to get by in life. And they have no shame about it. So you can imagine the comedy ensues when they are faced with different scenarios and problems, and they're willing to do things that aren't nice or moral, so they can get by and make things happen for themselves. Shameless. They're shameless. And a lot of the irony is that the main character in the show is William Macy. I don't know if you know this guy, William Macy, the famous actor. And he is the King Shameless One on the show. Well, the irony is that this week, his wife had to go to court and she was sentenced, I think, to a week or something, 14 days in jail, bless her heart, because she was trying to get her kids into USC, I think, and she cheated. She bent the rules trying to get her kids into school. She was shameless about it. And a lot of times in life, we find ourselves in situations where we do things that we are maybe ashamed of, that we wish we hadn't done. And a lot of times we can get right over those things. We do something and we just say, you know, I'm sorry I did that. I wish I hadn't done it. And we can move on. But a lot of times we don't. We hold on to those things. We keep them bottled up. And it builds and builds. And over time it develops to where it even changes who we are. Because we do have shame, right? And I think a certain amount of shame, if you realize that what you're doing is wrong, you're going to have those kinds of feelings. I watched a 30 for 30 this week, which is a sports program, on Dennis Rodman. Anybody remember Dennis Rodman played basketball? And that was full of shame. His whole life, talented guy in basketball. But outside of that, he never found really who he was. And so because of his shame, his guilt, he just became this person that just acted out all the time. Because that's what he thought people accepted from him. And his acting out got more and more outrageous. And so we have to be careful. We have to understand that there's a process to not living in guilt and shame and regrets. Things that we do in life, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do things that we wish we hadn't done or we could take back. But we have to process these things out. Go through it. And luckily, well, it wasn't by luck, thankfully, we have a Lord and Savior that we can always turn to, that forgives us for anything and everything we could ever do. And so I want to just use these scriptures today, not necessarily to talk about the guilt and the shame, but to move past that and to talk about how as Christians, we empower ourselves to get through life and the things of life consistently and with the power that Christ calls us to have in this world. See, he says here that the end of all things is near. And maybe that's been said every generation. The end is near. You must repent. Accept Christ as your Savior. And even though this is said over and over again, I don't think the world heeds that warning anymore. They're kind of like, yeah, you guys have been saying that for a long time. I don't think the end is near. What are you talking about? Well, maybe not the end of the whole world, but everyone's end is near. At some point, we're going to transition on. And so because of that, we need to be very mindful of right now, today, this moment, how we judge ourselves and how we judge the world. He says, be alert and of a sober mind. I always tell my kids, keep your head on a swivel. Meaning when you're out there in the world, always be aware of your surroundings. Be looking all sides, because life is always coming at you. Things are going to happen. And when you're surprised by things, which sometimes we are, how do we handle that? When all our plans that we make and the things that we know we're going to do, the day is laid out and this is what's going to happen. But in the course of even getting out the door to go to work, the unexpected takes place. Maybe it's nothing major. But sometimes it is. A phone call that disrupts everything you had going on. All the plans of that day are ruined now because something else has to take precedence. So in these things, we have to be alert of it. But then what does it say? Be of sober mind. Now, it doesn't mean make sure you don't wake up and have a few shots before you go to work, which is good advice too. But what he's saying is always have a clear thinking and be in tuned to me. When you wake up in the morning and you start thinking of your day, think of me. Think of what I'm going to do with your day. Think of how I'm going to use you in this day. Because when you think of it that way, it automatically gives you a power. Because you have a purpose. Because you're saying, you know, God is going to direct this day because he has something for me to do outside of my to-do list. Yes, I have things that I know I'm going to do today, but within that framework, God is going to use me to do something. What is that thing? Well, let me be aware of that. Because he says, be aware and of sober mind. Why? So that you may pray. And prayer is our communication. Prayer is our way of hearing him. And God wants us to hear what he has to say to us all the time. Paul says, I pray without ceasing, meaning he always wants to be connected to what God is trying to tell him, no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing. So see, we take different directions. Things happen. But in those instances, we need to stay connected to what God is going to do with us when plans change. When it doesn't go the way we think it's supposed to go, okay, Lord, what are you going to do now? I see this challenge, this new challenge that's come upon me, and I'm going to step into it because I know even in this situation, you're going to show up. Even though I'm not ready for this, or maybe I am ready for this because I know you've prepared me for it. So I'm going to step into it with you in my heart, with you on my mind, and see how you're going to use this for your betterment, for your purpose. And he wants to use your gifts and who you are to fulfill what he's trying to do. See, he says that if we love each other deeply, that love will cover all of our sins. And this wipes away all of that shame, all of that guilt. Anything that we would want to use in our minds to separate us from fulfilling what he's trying to do through us, that wipes it all away. All we have to do is love. Love each other. Love ourselves because he created us. You're like, oh, Pastor, yeah, always throwing around that L word. And it's hard to love, isn't it? Think of the ones in your household. We love them, but it's hard. Sometimes they rub us the wrong way. Sometimes it's a challenge, but that's the whole purpose of it. Love's like a muscle. We have to use it to make it stronger. And maybe if we're not practicing that love, we're not forgiving easily, we're not willing to be compassionate and empathetic and understanding of what the other person is going through and how they're challenged, and all we're focused on is our challenges, then our love isn't really being worked. Because we're just in our lane, thinking about our problems. But if we can get out of that, we can look at others and see how we can use who we are, the gifts God has given us, to help others, to be honest in our relationships. That's the hard part. See, we can see somebody and we can think we're saying the right things and maybe say whatever it is that we think is going to make them feel better, but sometimes we need to go a little deeper than that. Sometimes we just need to be honest and maybe really let them know what we're thinking. And I'm not saying this that you should just be critical and put somebody down, But turn it on yourself and say, you know what? What I see in you, I've seen that in myself. I understand where you are because I've gone through that too. But I'm going to be honest about that and tell you about my situation. I'm going to be vulnerable so that maybe you can be vulnerable. And in both of us letting our guards down, in both of us being honest, telling the truth, I'm not going to worry that I'm hurting you because I've been through it. And in helping you in this situation together, we can build each other up. That may sound complicated, but it's so simple to actually be honest and truthful, because we have to believe that God is the one who's directing our path. If we just think that it's all about us and we're thinking about the consequences based on how we see it, then it will keep us from being honest. But if we say, you know what, God is directing this. God is doing this. So in my sincerity to the situation, in my letting go of any kind of agenda, letting the walls down that I have, then I'm believing and trusting that God will use that to heal the situation. Believe the path that God has laid before you. And trust that if we're just honest in our dealings with it, if we trust in what he's doing with it, that he'll heal the situation and build it for our betterment. Love covers all mistakes. You may hate somebody. They may hate you. You may feel that kind of tension. But we always say, kill them with kindness, right? If we can let go of whatever the personal things that we're harboring for a person in a situation, let go of that personal strain that we have for them. We just let those things go. Then we can move into the blessing that God has for us with them in those situations. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. So let us be cheerful in those situations. Don't let the hate push us down, because that's only going to lead to the shame and the guilt and doing something that we regret. If anyone speaks, then they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. Say things with a mindful purpose. Say things with the intent of asking God to use you in any situation, whatever it is. Our purpose is to edify the body. So we want to use words of healing. If anyone serves, then they should do so with strength that God provides, so that in all things God is praised. This week, a friend of mine called me. He hadn't called me in a long time, and he goes to another church, and he just asked if he could have lunch. I said, sure, man, you know, let's have lunch. And we went out to lunch, and he said, you know, normally I call the youth pastor at my church, but, you know, he quit. And God just put you on my heart and said, call Will. So I said, well, I'm glad you called me, man. You know, what's going on? And he started telling me about his issues and being at home and the problems that he was having with his son and everything going on. And through that conversation, you know, I just listened. And I told him, and he said something that struck me, though. He said, you know, I feel like God has just separated himself from me. I don't see where he's doing the things that I'm praying about. And I told him that it seems like your home has turned into a warfare place. That That home isn't where you go to find serenity and to be fulfilled, but it's a place where you're having to put on the armor and be at war with what's happening. And he said, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I challenged him to think of a time where God did show up. When was the last time you remember that he showed up? And he told me a story when he was trying to go to Bolivia on a missions trip, and he was having difficulty, and he had to drive up to D.C. because he couldn't get his passport straightened out, and he went to the passport office, and he met a woman on the way in, and he was telling her that he was going to Bolivia, and she had been there before, and she said, oh, that's great, you know, I hope you have a great time. And he went to the line, he got to the front, and the woman was telling him that she wasn't sure they'd be able to process it in time, and he was getting real depressed about it. And the woman that he met at the door came walking up, and she started speaking to the lady in Spanish. And he said he couldn't quite understand everything she was saying, but he could pick up mission trip, Jesus, and a good guy. He said he could pick that much up. And he said the woman's whole demeanor just changed. She went from a person who was doing her job to a person who was understanding. And she left, came back a few minutes, gave him his stamp, and said, you're cleared to go. And he said, I knew right then that God had shown up. He had intervened. And I said, no, why do you think that happened in that situation? He said, because I was doing something that he wanted me to do. I was going on this mission trip. And I said, well, there are things right now that God wants you to do. And maybe you're just not doing those things. Doing them, maybe you're not serving anymore. And that struck him. He said, you know, you're right. Because everything he had been saying to me, which I didn't point out to him, but everything he had been saying to me was, woe is me, and this is happening to me. But he wasn't serving anymore. He wasn't reaching out. He wasn't looking where God was using his gifts anymore. And when we stop doing that, it's almost as if we disconnect from his power. When the troubles of life, the weights of life are all that we see, all that we can try and wrestle with. Maybe remove yourself from those things and start serving again. Look to where God wants you to make a difference. See, he says right there that each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. And when you do that, he has to come and empower you. He has to take care of the stuff that's holding you back from doing what he is calling you to do. He has no choice, because when you are serving him, then you're doing exactly what he has called you to do. So whatever station you find yourself in, whatever the things you think are holding you or you're struggling with, the new things that are presented to you that you're stepping into, the path has changed, or the path is a struggle, always keep the focus on how can I serve? Where can I use my gifts to better what God is doing for his people and for yourself? As the band comes forward, I want to challenge each and every one of us to remember the good news that Christ has come, that Christ has risen. And the things that we find are challenging to us, big or small, maybe at school, maybe it's work, a friend, a loved one, our health, the real issues that are large in our minds. Let's make them small by remembering who we serve. That we serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world. And he's trying to empower you. And he's not going to let anything stand in your way. His love for you is reckless. It goes through your doubts, through your shame, through your misunderstanding, through your worry, through your disease, through your health. He goes through all of that to show you how much he loves you. So why not serve him? Why not serve him? If there is a one who does not know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, I invite you right now to receive him. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion. Begin your journey anew. Is there a one? Is there a one? Please stand.
You know, it seems like sometimes we have the best intentions, right? And we know that whatever we're doing, we think it's God's will, because it's a lot of times a good thing. God knows our heart. Well, just know that if you're being attacked at your house or in your ministry or at your job, it could be because you're making impact, right? The devil wants to stop you from that. So I love this song because they're basically saying God's love is reckless. It's overwhelming. He's going to chase after us, meet us where we are. And he's not going to leave any stone unturned. And in fact, Holy Spirit opened up a stone that nobody thought would be unturned, showing that he's a living God, a resurrected God. So you guys have done this before. It's such a pretty song. It's called Reckless Love. Let's sing it together.
I don't deserve it.
guys believe that?
No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. I couldn't.